Hello, everybody. I'm Matt Seidel along with Derek Seidel, and this is Coach Speak. Welcome back to the pod, everyone. It is time for preview number three. And tonight, today, whatever, whenever you're listening to this, we are going to focus on the Interstate 8, better known as the I-8. Hey, Derek, when you do you have any of these teams, these I-8 teams on your schedule this year before we start breaking it down a little bit?
We do, actually. We play Jackson Northwest over break at the Spring Arbor Holiday Shootout or Shot Clock Classic, whatever they're calling it this year. And then we play Parma Western at the very end of the season.
There you go. Well. And we're at some point, we play Coldwater this year. We play Harper Creek. These are all new opponents for us. We have Northwest in an exhibition game. We play Hastings in our 22nd game. So, yeah, it's if we're not familiar with them now, we will be soon. You know, the I-8 was like the GLAC, or the last conference that we previewed, was established relatively recently. And that was 2014. So it's only in its, ninth year of existence. Unlike the GLAC, however, the I-8 will continue after this year, but it will not continue in its natural state of 8 teams. I don't know if they're going to change their name to the I-7, because they're going to be Lumen Christi will be leaving after this year, and they will be down to 7 unless they find another team. And I know they're actively looking to find one or more, but it's been a pretty solid league since its inception. The only change in the league is Charlotte was in the league for 2 years, from 14-15 and 15-16 school years, and then Charlotte went back to the CAAC, and Hastings entered the league the following year. So those two just traded spots, but that is what we have. So, man, let's jump right into this conference. It's a good, I tell you what, it was as good as it's ever been last year, with teams like Coldwater and Marshall tied for the league title, but Penfield and Harper Creek. Penfield was just a year removed from its state championship game appearance. Harper Creek had one of its best teams in recent years, and even the bottom four in the league, at least the next two, you know, Western and Northwest were pretty good teams, but just were in such a tough league that I think they both finished under 500 with overall records. But, you know, when you think of the I-8, what comes to mind? I mean, you're a Jackson County kind of guy now. What do you think about this conference?
Yeah, I mean, obviously being newer to Jackson County, it's this recent run that comes to mind for me. So I think of it as a very good basketball conference. Without a doubt, I think this year it's going to have a totally different look to it, just because so many of these guys graduated that were multi-year varsity players that are playing in college or playing at the next level right now. So that's kind of how I look at it. I mean, I'm way more familiar with the Jackson-based schools. I really don't know a ton and haven't necessarily seen a lot of the teams outside of Jackson in the I-8, but that's kind of my experience with it. And I have a lot of respect for the league, and I know that they play a high level of basketball for sure.
We're going to start with those three Jackson teams, and they're kind of the ones that they've been in our so-called area for a few years now. And then we're going to extend the rest of the league, but let's start with Jackson Northwest. During our Storylines for the Year podcast, not too long ago, we talked about Northwest and Western and whether or not this is their year to contend for an I-8 title. I know I was kind of pushing the Northwest narrative a little bit, but let's start with them, coached by John Moffitt. This team, if they, you know, I don't know that they, I guess I don't have the history of who's won what each year, but they seem that the Mounties seem to have a chance this year with, you know, they have two guards coming back, Duncan Moffitt being kind of the featured guy. Colton Gowdy is and Moffitt's only a junior, and Gowdy's a senior guard. So backcourt returns, and a guy named Briston Armstrong, kind of a downhill athletic big for them. This team is interesting, and Moffitt, he'll play any defense imaginable, but this team could make some noise this year. What are your thoughts on Northwest?
Yeah, they're definitely a very intriguing team, and I think we mentioned this in our Storylines podcast, where when you have two very good guards, that's just a major advantage in high school basketball, because it really comes down to being able to get yourself into offense, get the ball up the floor, And then spray it around when it comes to these two guys, and then they both can score it, they both can shoot it. And then I think Brisson Armstrong's the perfect kind of guy to pair with them. So when you look at a core group of three guys that are super experienced, all three of these guys started, played major minutes a year ago. I think that is, this is as good of a group of three guys as you're going to find in the league returning this year, at least from what I've seen. So I think that's a great starting point. I think the biggest question with them is just who else do they have? And I think it's more of a mystery than anything. I think Coach Moffitt was staying a little tight to the vest here on who else he's got or will have in the mix, which is totally fair. I get it. But and they've been in the fall league. I've watched them just briefly in spurts, and they have some athletes for sure. I don't think that they're going to be huge. I think they're going to really, other than Armstrong, they're going to be maybe a little undersized for what you'd expect in the I-8. But I think that's okay. You know, that they can play different ways. Like you mentioned, we watched them. I think we both saw them play Adrian at Spring Arbor last year, and they were in, I don't even know, every combination defense you can think of, trying to throw Joe Francis off his game, and it sure worked that night. I think they can definitely mix it up like that again, and I expect them to be dangerous on every given night. And, you know, with guys like Moffitt, who averaged 13 a game a year ago and can really shoot the ball, they're going to put up some points.
Yeah, and Armstrong averaged 8 points and 5 rebounds a game, and these were kind of like second and third options behind Ian Wells, the big fella who's graduated. And Coach Moffitt, you know, he mentioned that they definitely have lost some key pieces, but he also kind of he shared with us he thinks they're going to be a different team this year and play a different style. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, you know, again, because they were so versatile and diverse, maybe in terms of, you know, you never quite knew what defense they were going to do, and he's willing to experiment or throw anything. So I know how they played offensively, especially with the big fella. But you may see a little bit more of an up and down pace this year, and, you know, without a big fella to just, you know, where you got to get some touches for him. Although Armstrong is going to have the ball in his hands a little bit too. So I'm intrigued. I don't know if there's no Vegas line on who's going to win this conference, but my early favorite is Northwest. So,
well, one thing to note, it was Ian Weller. I don't want to mispronounce his name. Oh, I'm sorry.
Did I say Wells?
Yeah, you said Wells. Yeah, so Weller. He was definitely a stud, and like, he is a big loss for them. I think, you know, that I'm curious too. What coach is really getting at with, he says they're going to play differently. Obviously, not having a big guy like that, where you have to throw the ball into him regularly, you're gonna play a little bit different. I mean, I think, you know, Armstrong is an extremely good big, but he's not the same type of big. He's more of a driver and like rebounder, flying all over the floor kind of guy than Weller, where he was more skilled in the post, at least from what I saw. Right. So
I apologize for butchering your last name, Ian. You did you had a nice game against us in the exhibition last year, so I was glad to see you graduate. But, you know, right there with them is going to be Parma Western. You know, obviously a big rivalry game. The Northwest Western game is a huge rivalry. And these two teams, I mean, they get excited about that game every year, but it really hasn't had, you know, at least in the last few years, hasn't had maybe the deciding point in the conference. But this year it might. These two games that they play in the regular season, they could have some impact on who wins this conference title. Parma Western has a coaching change. Jordan Tingle takes over for the Panthers. And they bring a team. They're going to put a team on the court this year that is athletic, might not be tremendous in size, but they're going to be very deep. A lot of clone-like players. I know when I saw them this summer, it's like, holy cow, there's like 7 or 8 of them that all have the same skill set. They're all dangerous. They play freely. They're intelligent players, athletic. I think they're a handful. I don't know if they have the experience maybe to win it this year, but I think they're going to be right there. They can beat anybody in this conference on a given night. You know some of these guys a little bit. You've seen them play. You played Western last year. What are your thoughts on the Panthers?
Yeah, I think you hit on some really key points with them. And it's really a program-wide thing for them that they have so much depth. And, you know, it's one of those situations where if you had to look at a team talent-wise from, you know, guy number one on the varsity all the way through the freshman roster, like, I think they clearly have the best setup right now in the league. I mean, they have so many guys. I mean, you see them in the summer when they have all three teams at places, and they got, you know, mid-30s to 40 guys playing basketball, and a lot of them are really good athletes. A lot of them can really play, have played a lot of basketball to this point. So their program, in my opinion, is in a healthy state in that case. The biggest thing last year, like you said, it was the same way, where it was, you couldn't even, like, I was making up a scouting report when we were playing them last year. It's like, I'm 11 guys deep, and I'm still got things that need to be noted on all these guys. Eventually it got to the point where I had to say, listen, they all are good players. You're just going to have to go out there and guard them like they can do. They can do a little bit of everything. And that's really what you've got with these guys. I mean, when Cooper Johnson's, I think, the top returner, if you look at stats and stuff, and he got some all area recognition and stuff a year ago. I think he is poised to have a very good senior year here. He's an experienced guard. He's really good going to the rim. He's a tough player who's got a high motor. So I really like Cooper kind of as a key piece for them at one of the guard spots. I know a year ago, Owen Fromo was key for them inside. He's the one guy who really does bring a bunch of size for him. He's super super filled out. So he's just like, he's big, he's physical. You cannot move him off the block. He's going to rebound the ball and make an impact in the paint on both ends. So I think, he's a key piece because maybe they don't have a lot of other guys like him. I know watching him in the fall league, the one guy that definitely popped out to me was Dustin Ruiz. He actually didn't play a year ago due to an injury, but he's extremely athletic. He had a couple dunks. He only is about 6 foot. They list him at 6 foot here. I don't even know. He doesn't even look like he's 6 foot, but he can really get up super quick. Like I said, I saw him get above the rim and dunk a couple in the fall league. And then, the list goes on and on. I mean, Ethan Wagner and Caden Oliver are guys that have a lot of varsity experience. Ben Parrott and Ty Keeler are guys that have a little bit of varsity experience. And then there's these other guys coming up that played on an undefeated JV team a year ago. So it's just, I think the biggest thing it comes down to with Western, when you have that much talent, that many guys that are similar, is how can you make sure guys find the right role? Like, how do you, I think sometimes as a coach, it's hard to define roles when everybody is so similar. And, can you make sure that you have things set that way? I'm not saying Coach Tingle's not going to be able to do that. I'm just saying that I imagine that's going to be his task early in the year, is really figuring out who they're going to rely on to do what throughout the season.
And with Tingle being the JV coach last year for that undefeated team, I think the transition that you often get with a new coach, they're not really going to have to go through it. It's not a full install of a new system. They didn't, in the summer, it's hard to install that much anyway. But they play pretty freely and with it, probably the system that they relied on the year before at the JV and the varsity level, probably a hybrid of the two this summer, and looked like they were organized well enough to be successful. I know that, heck, they handed us one of our summer losses this year. And I was impressed. So that part of it, you always, sometimes with these new coaches, the new system, slow start, but first 10 games, it's just hard to get any chemistry or rhythm. And then they take off. Well, these guys are going to be ready to go, I think, from the beginning. So you can look for big things out of these guys. And like I said, this rivalry with Northwest and Western, it's amped up even more right now. So I'm looking forward to that. The third Jackson school that we obviously need to talk about is the Lumen Christi Titans in their final year in the I-8. Who knows what happened with that relationship with the other seven schools in Lumen Christi. I can only imagine. But obviously, our own Josh Trope is the new head coach at Lumen Christi. And that adds an element of intrigue, I guess, to this. They've been down. I mean, I think they won three games last year. They probably most noted for their four overtime game in the district when they took Michigan Center to four overtimes, and we had JV players deciding the outcome of that game because everybody had fouled out. But I saw them this summer. I was impressed. Obviously, they had installed a new system, which is basically Josh Trope's system, and he was just going to be an assistant. Well, now he's the head coach. But I don't know if they have enough. You know more about these guys than I do, but I think they're going to be a factor. I think they're going to be good enough to pop people. Josh is going to, he's going to coach them up. He's going to have him doing things offensively and defensively that give his kids an opportunity to be successful. So you want to break down a few of these guys that for the Titans?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one thing I'll note just in terms of the overall outlook, and then I'll get into some of the guys, is I do think they have a pretty good vibe going. I know Josh has mentioned that to us a lot. Like, he thinks that, the kids are excited and they have more confidence, I think, coming into this season than they have maybe in recent years. I think Josh is kind of doing a good job of bringing that. And I know talking to Tyler, he was mentioning the same thing. I talked to him recently as well. So in terms of their personnel, I think it all starts with Joe Lathers. He is a stud athlete. His name comes up constantly on the football field. He's the quarterback who really kind of makes his name, at least when I've watched him or read about them, that he makes his name running the ball on the football field from the quarterback spot, but he also can obviously throw it. He's about 6'2", but just extremely physical. He's strong enough. He can guard anybody on the floor. Super athletic, as we mentioned. I think, you know, his game is more going to the basket than shooting the jump shot, but he's going to be that kind of most experienced guy for them. That's really going to be important for them, you know, battling in the physical and tough I-8 throughout the year. The other guys that played some varsity a year ago, I think the top two guys that I'm watching out for are one, Aiden Pastoriza. We've actually played Lumen last year, and Aiden was out the game we played, which was probably fortunate for us. He's listed at 6'6". He's a junior forward. He has, I don't know his wingspan measurement, but it looks like he has a 7-foot wingspan. He adjusts and bothers shots all the time around the basket. Like, you just really you have to go floater or have some sort of you know, is he gonna change every shot that guys try to take around the rim? So he's key in that sense. I think you know, if he can develop, I'm sure he will continue to develop around the rim on the offensive end, because again, he's so long and big in there that you really can't contest him much. So I'm curious to see if he can really get it going on that end. He didn't score a ton last year when I watched them play, but I think he's capable of doing that. The other guy that I've got to watch play a lot, because he's playing in that fall league over at Jackson College, is Kaysen Burgess. Very athletic wing/guard, kind of plays off the ball, but really can attack the rim. He's super aggressive and athletic going to the rim. I think he's very capable of finishing at the basket. He got hot a handful of times last year. I know when we were scouting him and watching some film on him, he definitely can knock down the three ball in spurts. And then I think they had a very successful JV team last year. So they have some talent coming. I know Britton Hampton is a guy that I think is going to really factor at the guard spot. He's an athletic 6-foot guard for them. Obviously Luke Trope coming over from Chelsea as a shooter. He's going to make a major impact. He just is going to affect opposing defenses night in and night out. You have to know where he is. You have to be able to get out to him so you can really stretch the defense and open things up for other guys. And then they have some other guys as well that I'm less familiar with coming in. But I think that this, you should expect them to take a big step. I think Josh is, this is the kind of situation he likes to be in, where he can try to sneak up on some people and surprise them with maybe a young and up and coming group.
Yeah, there's another name. There's going to be two sophomores, probably. Obviously, rosters haven't been set yet on the varsity. Another guy is Timmy Crowley. And I don't know anything about Timmy other than he's a 6'3 sophomore guard listed here. But that's a Lumen Christi name, actually a Western name as well. Dan Crowley used to be a basketball coach in the area, and his son was a really good player. I assume that's a relative of some nature, but we'll have to verify that. But you see a Crowley playing basketball in the Jackson area, it opens your eyes a little bit. I see Pastoriza?
I think so.
Yeah, his looks like a younger brother.
I think Alex. It's a twin, actually.
A junior guard. Well,
wow. I could be wrong.
Not identical twins.
Correct. I could be wrong. Maybe they're just brothers, but they are both
juniors. He's a junior at 6 foot. He's about 6 inches less in height, and who knows about that that arm span. But if this, you know, I don't know if they have enough to contend, but I think they're going to at times this year play really good basketball, and when they're making shots, they're going to be dangerous, and they're also going to be, you know, we'll talk about this at the very end. They might be the team that's in best position to make a postseason run, just because they're a Division III school. Josh will be the first to tell you that they were 9-45 the last 3 years, and he loves that. So, you know, anything more than 3-4 wins this year, he's going to remind us that they've made some improvements. But that's just like any coach; they like to handle that. I call him the plumber. That's one of the nicknames I have for him. Josh comes in and fixes things. And this is a fixed job for him right here at Lumen Christi. So we shall see. I think they're going to be a factor, though. You know, it's funny. We just covered the three Jackson schools, and they were in the bottom half of this league last year. The top half, like we mentioned, were Marshall and Coldwater at the top, followed closely by Harper Creek and Penfield. Let's talk about the two defending champions, the two defending co-champions, and let's when we quiz the coaches on who's the favorite, Marshall comes up a lot, and I don't know, Marshall lost so much, but who knows what they had on that bench that maybe wasn't playing a lot in the rotation, and also down to JV level. But Marshall, coached by Anthony Miller, they return one really, really good player. I think the only first team all leaguer that is back in the conference, the only underclassman, and that was Josh Pugh, who's a very unique 5'11" point guard. And when I say unique, it's because when we were getting ready to possibly play them in a district final last year, and I was studying the little video that I had, I noticed that Coldwater covered him with their four man, even though he was the point guard, and they basically just had the guy stand at the free throw line. Josh was not really willing to fire up any perimeter shots last year, but he is a really strong, athletic kid who can finish at the rim. So they put a big guy on him, I think, one, to keep him from doing that inside, and also dare him to shoot. Now, I assume Josh, being the good athlete he is probably a capable shooter. And if he wasn't last year, he probably is now. But he is the fixture or the featured player probably for them. But there's some other guys. Austin Miller comes to mind too, and I know he's listed as a newcomer. He is Anthony Miller's son. I've seen him play a little bit. He just seems to get better and better every single time I watch him. And they've got a handful of other guys. But yeah, any thoughts on Marshall?
Yeah, I didn't see Marshall play much last year. I obviously knew that they were a very good team. I did see him this summer, but I don't think Josh Pugh was not playing that day when I saw them. But the one thing that I think is really interesting to know with them is they have a ton of length and height for that matter. So, Aaron Maxwell's a senior 6'3" forward. They got, as you mentioned, Austin Miller, 6'4" sophomore. Austin Burns, a 6'3" sophomore. Aiden Noel, a 6'3" senior. So they're going to have some size to go with Josh Pugh. So I think that they're going to be, very active, very athletic and long out there for sure. And I the one thing I noted watching them this summer in the game I saw was they had, a lot of athletes that were really pressuring the ball, a lot full court and getting into people. I think they were playing Bronson when I was watching, but yeah, so they look like a tough, hard-nosed team. So I think that, they should be right there near the top. I know all the other coaches have a lot of respect for Marshall. You can tell by where they were placing them or expecting them to finish this year, even though they lost so much.
Elliot Dodds, a 5'10" junior guard, is another kid. I believe I've seen him play a little bit. I could be wrong, but I think he fits right into what you just described. The one thing about Marshall last year, even if you look at their scores and what they did, for example, to Harper Creek in the district final, they literally could just take the life out of you defensively. They could just shut people down. They had great length. They had great, intelligent kids who anticipated well. And they had a very sound defensive system when they were ready. And when they were used to you and they knew what you were going to do, they had some teams score under 20 last year. And again, I really thought that Harper Creek Marshall district final last year was going to be a good game, and Harper Creek couldn't find the bucket at all. And a lot of that had to do with Marshall. So again, people think they're going to be right there, and it would not surprise me. They have been, a mainstay in the I-8 for quite a while now. The other team, obviously, that you can't ignore, especially with their big man, and that is Coldwater. And again, the defending co-champion, coached by Aaron Buckland. And when I say their big man, I'm talking about 6'7" senior Dante Work. And like Briston Armstrong, who I saw play with the Truth, where some of the Olivet kids play, this is where I first saw Dante Work play. He used to play a little bit when he was younger with the Truth. And he was an honorable mention All-League last year. But this is a physical, skilled, tough kid. I mean, he's probably the best big man in the conference this year. And there a lot of their offense and some of their defensive stuff is going to be through him. I'm impressed with him. And, if they can get some guard play, they're going to have to go with some new guys and some young guys. But Coldwater just they're well coached, and they just play good basketball down there. I assume they're going to put some pieces around him. But this team will be a factor and will be right in the thick of things. when the year gets going.
Yeah, no doubt. We played these guys this summer over at Hillsdale College, and I was super impressed with Dante Work. I mean, we could not keep him off the glass. And we have good length and we have pretty good size, but he was too much for us to handle on the offensive glass in particular. And just going to the rim and finishing around the basket, he moves really well for a kid his size, in my opinion. He's got enough skill. Like, I agree. He's a very well-rounded big who should have a very, very good year. I know that league was very talented last year. I think if he was on a different team and had to be featured more, I wouldn't be surprised if he could have even had better numbers as a junior. They just had so much talent. And I'm not saying he was a bad player last year. Obviously, he was a honorable mention all league guy. But I expect big things from him. They also had some other big kids as well. Coach didn't give us a long list for their roster here, but I remember them having some other kind of longer physical wing players. And they, I think that they should still be able to beat some teams up on the glass and really handle their business there. I know Zach Coffing, it looks like, is a junior 6'2" guard that played a lot last year. He's a good athlete, plays three different sports, and they got some sophomore guards coming here, including another Downs. I know Brandon Downs was a key on their team a year ago and has been a key on their team for a handful of years, key player for them. And it looks like his younger brother, Nicholas Downs, is going to be in the mix this year, as long with Aiden Derschel. They're kids that really, you know, get out and play a lot, travel ball. I know Coach mentioned that. So, you know, I'm not going to act like I'm an absolute expert on this, but I think this is my pick to win the league. I think that, like you mentioned, they're really well coached. I really am impressed with their physicality, their size, and just kind of how well-rounded they are. So that they're my pick to win the league, but you know, like you said, it's going to be close.
I mean, and all the coaches are saying the same thing. Like, it's never been this wide open. I think they all know that going in. And I think Coach Bufflin has an interesting, you know, philosophy. He thinks, really, I mean, it's kind of simple though. Whoever takes care of business at home and maybe steals a win or two on the road against some of the better teams is going to end up being the champion when all is said and done. And we've heard that formula before in other sports. So it wouldn't surprise me, but moving back, let's look at Harper Creek, coached by Matt Bowling. I'm kind of familiar with these guys since they ended our season last year. Although a lot of the guys that ended our season are no longer there, and they're like so many of the other good teams a year ago. They were 16-7, I think, last season. They had different starting lineups throughout the year, but the group that we played in the district was five seniors. You know, they started. Now Marcus Ransom was big kid off the bench. He might be 6'3", 6'4", maybe bigger. I can't remember, but he's playing up above the square. I mean, he changed so many shots at the rim, something that we really didn't see a lot of during the season. And that was a factor in the game. He just, you know, just what he does defensively. And then he brings a little bit of offense from time to time too, but a tremendous force inside for them. And I know Keyshawn Matthews was a kid that played some minutes last year, and they were very deep. There were games where they'd play 10 or 11 guys in the first half, even in games that were close and competitive. So, but I think he, Matt Bowling, is relying heavily on Ransom and Matthews this year. And I think how well they do might be dictated on their development. But it's, you know, it's Harper Creek is, you know, they had some lean years, and all of a sudden they had this group come in, and Matt just does a nice job. I've gotten to know him a little bit the last couple of years, and easygoing guy, but he's a competitive man, and he does a lot of different things with his program. They're not very predictable. And I think that's always a cool thing. So I expect them to have a good year.
Yeah, I agree with you. They were impressive last year when I watched them on film a little bit. But the biggest thing that stood out a year ago, like you mentioned, was their depth. They just had so many guys, but it is tough when so many of those guys are seniors. But at least having those two guys back is good, and then they can hopefully build around that a little bit more. So it should be interesting to see if they can kind of, like you said, keep some of that momentum they were able to use or build up last year.
One of the best games I saw last year, and just in terms of intensity, and two schools that, you know, recently we both enjoyed the Michigan State game in recent days around here, and two teams that just don't like each other. Well, Penfield and Harper Creek, they don't like each other. Let's just call it what it is. And that first round district game at Marshall last year, you know, we had the winner. So it's a Monday night. I'm sitting up there really not knowing. and it just was great. It's intense as heck in the student sections, but you could just tell the two communities, the two teams. I'm not sure how Nate and Matt feel about each other either. It just had one of those interesting deals, but that's what makes high school sports so fun. Penfield, coached by Nate Burns, who is an excellent coach. And I tell you, it was, you know, I felt like Harbor Creek had more talent last year, and they actually beat Penfield three times. And you never want to play the team with more talent, but Penfield ran so much stuff last year, so many sets. And I just was really taking a look at it, maybe a couple games on video, and then the game I watched against Harper Creek, and he was throwing everything out there. They ran so much good stuff. They had two excellent shooters, actually a third shooter, including, you know, Graham Boyd, who is a 6'1 senior guard who returns. He was an honorable mention all-leaguer last year, all-city. He averaged 12 points a game. But Nate does a great job. They run some really cool action offensively. They're a hard team to prepare for, especially defensively, and it takes more than just one day to do it. But Penfield has, you know, being in the state finals just a couple of years ago, that it took their program. You talk about the vibe that Luma Christie has created. Well, they've got a good vibe at Penfield, and even though they lost a lot, there's a lot of pride. And I think the you know, program wide, and with Nate running the show, I think they're going to be competitive this year.
Yeah, no doubt. Like you said, that having been to the finals there recently, this is a good program, or it has been. I remember watching them some that year. I know that was a different team, and probably very few, if anybody, that was contributing on that team, is still around. But they were fearless. That group was, that's kind of what I remember about Penfield. Even if that doesn't apply to this group, I remember noting that. And I think, you know, having a guard like Graham Boyd back, who's obviously proven to be effective, and then having a big kid like Brendan Duncan at 6'5", who averaged 7 points and 4.5 rebounds a year ago, like, that's not a bad start to you know, your new group here. I mean, those are two guys that started games, and they're gonna have to rely on those guys heavily. And it looks like they have a couple other guys that, you know, were rotation players, Landon Roach and Isaiah Lampert. So, you know, they should have some pieces there. I've seen, you know, again, some of these their games in the fall. They're playing at Jackson College as well. I have not watched them closely by any means, but you know, they look physical, they look competitive. So I expect them to again be right there. And like you said, it's going to be interesting to see how this thing shakes out as the year goes on.
Yeah, I mean, we've covered 7 of the 8 teams. We've got one more to go, and I don't think any of them beat the other one. I don't even know if it's an upset, especially if it's at home. You know, it's just that's how close it's going to be. And of course, you know, when it comes to any sports team, you know, how you develop as the year goes on, and what kind of chemistry and what kind of role you can get on. And that's all going to, you know, that's probably going to decide who wins this conference. But going into it, man, there is definitely no clear cut favorite. And here's the other thing. The last place team in the year and in the league last year was Hastings, coached by Rich Long, who, again, I've gotten to know a little bit. We played against them the last two summers and talked a little bit. And actually we play them in our last game this year, but you know, we played them this summer, and I'll be honest, it was over at Olivet College. And, you know, I wasn't expecting a ton from them based on the kind of season that they had. And when we got into that game, like, they got some dudes. They had some guys that can play. This is not a bad team. They, like Lumen Christie, like some of the other teams, on a given night are going to pop you. And they might return more than anybody else in the league. In terms of just guys with varsity experience, and they have a little bit of size, and they have some athleticism, and Rich does a nice job. So, you know, building on that football season that they've been enjoying this fall, this could be an intriguing squad. A couple guys I just want to mention. I mean, they've got a third year returning senior who's kind of at the top of coach's list that he shared with us. Leighton Eastman, one of their key guys a year ago. He calls him very versatile, and he's going to play multiple positions for them. And they also have a senior 6'2", Braden Padillo, or Padillo. I may have butchered that name, but you know, I think he's a shooting guard and a guy that can knock down some shots. And then the third one, and I'll let you jump in here in a second, but Hayden Long, who's obviously the coach's son or relative. I think it's his son, because Rich is a tall guy, and Hayden's 6'5". He's going to be the center. I remember seeing him. He can spread things out. as well. He can pick and pop, and he can knock down the perimeter shot. So he gives them a big with some versatility.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always interesting when you have that group that brings everybody back, but maybe wasn't as successful, right? And everybody else in the league is looking to replace guys. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see where they fit in. And, I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be able to compete in the league this year, which is, again, it makes it very interesting. A couple of the other guys that Coach mentioned, Xander Forbes is a 6'1" kid that is returning. He considers him a big energy guy for them. They have a junior point guard, Owen Carroll, who it was on the varsity a year ago as a sophomore. Coach considers him to be a natural leader, thinks he'll be a great glue guy for them. So, again, just having all these guys with varsity experience is great. They also have another junior, Landon Stewart, who played varsity a year ago, kind of as a four-man. He can play some inside and outside for him. I know the other guy that maybe we got to keep an eye out for, or keeping, maybe the name will pop up as the year goes on. He says Jet Barnum is a 6'2" kid that's going to be a sophomore that they're going to have to keep a close eye on. And, it's probably hard to break into this group when you have so many returners, but maybe he's a kid that could do that this year as a sophomore.
Yeah, that's the eight teams right there. And again, one of the more, we're going to talk eventually about the SEC Red and the SEC White and some of the other schools surrounding Washtenaw County. But this, more than the Cascades, maybe, and even more than the Glac, it's just totally up in the air. It would be hard to rank. I mean, I'm kind of pushing the Northwest thing. You're pushing the Coldwater thing a little bit, but it's going to be interesting. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I love this question, especially when you have a competitive league. What will be the win total of the team who wins the league? I think that's a great question for this league, because it's 14 games league schedule. So what should we expect? I think when you look at this, you're probably saying, oh, it might be 10 games or 9 games, that could win the league. And I still have a weird feeling that somebody might get up to 11 or 12, but I know that's an interesting thing to look at. What do you think?
I think 10 is the number. I don't know if a team is going to win 11 games this year in this conference. 11-3 would be just really emerging above the rest of them, and not that they're not capable of doing it, but I could see 10-4 winning this thing outright. I could see two or three teams finishing 9-5 and sharing the title. I think it really is going to be that balanced, at least at this point, when you look at it.
No, I don't disagree. I think that's an interesting thing to track as the year goes on.
For sure. So, before we check out here, the districts, these schools, there's 8 of them. They're going to 6 different districts. Obviously, Class A schools this year, Division I schools, are Coldwater and Harper Creek, as well as Northwest. And then the rest of them, four of them are D2 schools. And then, of course, there's Lumen Christi, a D3 school. But when I look at their districts, and I referenced this earlier, I really think Lumen Christi, which is hosting a district that includes some tough outs for them, Jonesville, Homer, Hanover, Horton, and Concord, I still think, looking at it, they might have the best chance at winning a district of any of the I-8 schools this year.
I don't disagree. I think that that's a toss-up of a district. I think that's super balanced across the board. I could very easily see Lumen Christi coming out of that one. And like you mentioned, I mean, the Division I's just a whole different animal. It's hard to predict a team like these teams here where they don't have a ton of experience to win a Division I district. And they all have tough matchups there. And even the teams that slot into Division II, I think this year is going to be a little bit tough. I mean, it's just, they're not proven. So it makes it tougher, I guess, to predict that. So I think that would be my, if you had to pick one school, I think Lumen Christi is the one. And it's crazy to say that, because if you really did have to rank them out, you might be picking Lumen to finish 6th, 7th, 8th in the league, right? But having the best chance to win a district, that's Division 3 for you. But
the four Division 2 schools that they have, I mean, Parma Western goes to the Adrian district, which is a handful in itself, Adrian, but that includes Onsted and Tecumseh. So Parma West, and this is a good part. Parma Western could win that district. Knowing what I know of Onstead and Tecumseh and Adrian and, you know, others, they could win it, but that's not an easy one. And obviously you got a special player over there at Onstead and a collaboration of special players at Tecumseh. Marshall and Penfield are in the, they probably wish they were still in the district that we went to. And these guys are going way west. Marshall and Penfield are going to Paw Paw. And they've got a good parchment program. Three Rivers and Vicksburg are included there. That's not going to be easy, especially with the travel. And I'm not necessarily up to date on what those schools have, but that normally that would be a competitive district. Hastings is in the Plainwell district. That's Wayland, Otsego, Grand Rapids, South Christian. So, we'll see again, way out of the area when you consider where the I-8 is located. For our D2. And then, of course, our D1s in this conference, Northwest is going to the Jackson District, which is kind of cool. But that district has Holt, Mason, Okemos, and Lansing Everett. So good luck, Coach Moffitt. Yeah, I mean, at least it is local. It's in Jackson. But there's not an easy game there. Not to say Northwest can't get on a late season roll and win it. But, man, they are going to be up against it. And Coldwater and Harper Creek are in the Battle Creek Central District, not too far of a ride. They are going a little bit west, but that's got Lakeview, Gull Lake, and Sturgis. So some different competition for some of these schools that are usually in the same district. Obviously, you know, Harper Creek and Marshall and Penfield were in the same district a year ago. So postseason stuff after this really exciting league race that they have will be intriguing as well. Well, hey, on that note, I think that was good. It was fun talking about them. It's exciting, kind of, like I said, extending our area a little bit to the west. And we're going to talk about these three Jackson teams in the I-8. We might as well include the entire I-8, which is a very credible and well-thought-about conference. So until next time, in our next preview, everybody take care.